Today is December 17th, and I'm speaking with Bruce Goodhart. Well, thank you for speaking with me again, Bruce.
My pleasure.
And we had such a good conversation the first time, so if you don't mind, I'm going to ask you to repeat some of what we talked about. You had told me a little bit about your childhood. Maybe you could just tell me again, where were you born again?
I was born in Chicago, on the west side, really at Michael Reese Hospital, and then we moved to a building on Jackson Central, across from the Jackson Park and the Lagoon. Years later, my two younger brothers came, and my dad was very active in watching our games and worked very hard. And my mother was the belle of the ball. And they had a very good life together.
That's very nice. Tell me about your brothers now.
Well, I have one brother 3 years younger. He lives in Highland Park. He was in the paper box business and did very well. He now lives part-time in Arizona. His name is Mark. And he and his wife have two kids. And he has 4 grandchildren. And then my youngest brother, Terry, is 8 years younger. And he has 3 boys, and they live just outside of Denver in near Longmont, Colorado. And Terry and I are very close. Mark is a little distance, but that's okay. Anything else?
You played sports, didn't you?
I did.
Tell us about that.
In Chicago, they have 16, what they call 16-inch baseball. Not 12-inch, not 14-inch, but 16-inch. No gloves. I played third base. My best friend played shortstop. We belonged to a club in the city. And I'm still very close with a number of those guys. My real love was football. And I went to Evanston High School, even though my parents paid tuition. And my friend who played shortstop was also decided to go to Evanston High School with me, even though we paid tuition. And he was the All-State quarterback our senior year. And I was fortunate enough to play in all those games. And I was the smallest offensive tackle in the suburban league. And really what it's all about is that there were great relationships that have been sustained for years because of what we did in high school or at camp or someplace or my fraternity. It was a wonderful thing. Well, I tried to. We're not going anywhere in particular this year, although there's a good restaurant we go to every year downtown, but we're not going because they opened another one right by the gambling casino in off of River Road, the River Casino. But this place opened a restaurant there. It's one of my favorite restaurants. I have indoctrinated my friends from here, from Philadelphia, from almost everywhere in the country to come eat with me at Gina Giorgetti's.
And where did you end up going to school then?
Well, from Evanston, I went to Colgate University in upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
I teased because it was an all-men's school, and I keep telling people I didn't know that when I signed up. And that was another thing. My fraternity was wonderful. My friends are still around from that wonderful time we had for 4 years. I see them, I talk to them. I just got a Christmas card from my roommate's wife. He's passed away about a year ago, and I was stood up at his wedding, and she just sent me postcard or a Christmas card. And so I like to keep up all of those as much as I can. And it's enjoyable for me and fun. Then I went on to Northwestern Law School. And that I became friendly with a number of people, but close with about five or six. I always felt they were a little different than my college guys. They were too serious. But we all seemed to get along and do well.
And you were in law?
Yes.
And I know you told me what kind of law you took.
It was in personal injury and what you call consumer class actions. And so that was always exciting because I was one of the lead counsels in the Chicago flood case that lasted like 14 years. And it was an amazing adventure. But I love trying cases. I had an affinity for the people that were hurt or injured or taken advantage of. I felt always very comfortable in a courtroom. I don't know why, but I always felt comfortable there.
I bet you were very good then because you had a passion and an affinity for it.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. Mm-hmm. And I would try different things out in the courtroom. I'd make the courtroom a bar. I'd tell them where the bar was. I'd tell them where my client was seated. Somewhere on the TV, but I had to go there to see it so I could describe it to them. And then there were other things. One time I put a cowboy hat on my counsel table. A friend of mine in law school, kind of was a judge, came in to watch, and he had a break. He said, "What are you doing with the cowboy hat?" I said, "Donald, the case is so bad, I gotta take their mind off the facts." And we got a verdict, so I got lucky. But we did a lot of those things that, you know, you read about. I mean, there's only one that I've read about that I've never tried. And that was a fellow from California. His name escapes me because I'm losing it. When he was a criminal attorney, went for lunch, came back, and before it started, the judge called the lawyers up, and he looked at this one lawyer, and he says, "You know, Judge," he says, "you know, you've been drinking." And the lawyer looked at him and said, without turning around, said, "Your Honor, I hope your sense of smell is as good as your sense of justice." And I've been drinking in the afternoons for years just to say that.
What's your any favorite case? Was the flood your favorite case then?
No, not really. I mean, it was a lot of work, and it was interesting, but it wasn't. There was no family in it. There was no people moving it. The lawyers did their jobs, but it didn't have the passion that other things had. Mm-hmm. I mean, I tried one case. I think I only got a verdict of $800, but allegedly my client turned in front of another car, and it was an accident. And this guy went through a whole big thing about car and the fence. And I said, "You know, one thing he missed." He said, "What's that?" He said, because, you know, he painted my car, my person, as being black, and he would be on the white horse, you know, going forward. And I looked at him and I said, the times have changed. Black is beautiful. And I sat down, they gave me a verdict. It was the fun part. Mm-hmm. It really was. Mm-hmm. So, and what else can I tell you?
Tell me about what were some fun times with your children when they were growing up.
They're still growing up. They're terrific. They've given me grandchildren and more than I can ask for. And it's my daughter has 3 children. A girl who's going to be a senior at Miami of Ohio. She's going to be in Italy most of the winter. Well, she speaks it fluently. And her sons, one is at Tulane. He'll be a sophomore in August. And he's a good athlete, bright kid. He takes Mandarin. And his younger brother, who's 15, is somebody who's spectacular. There's no way to explain him. There really isn't. He is kind, generous. He has all the good qualities of his brother and sister, and yet he's a phenomenal athlete and a phenomenal friend. And he's just a good soul. Now, at one time, he wasn't a good man. He wasn't, but he didn't pay attention to people that sat in corners and didn't talk to anybody. He's changed. He now invites them into his life. And his older brother is only 3 years older than him. And he had won the best athlete of his class, okay, that year. And my daughter picked up the boys when Eli started. Okay. And they walked past the buses and stuff, and everybody yelled at Eli. And his mother turned around and said, Eli had won all the same things that Gabe did. And he said, how come you know Eli? He says, everybody knows him. I mean, he played T-ball and 1 year at a park. And they said, what position do you play? He said, I play first, I play shortstop, pitcher, and I play second base, and I play shortstop. The coach says to him, you can't play shortstop, you're a lefty. He yells over, Mom, get my other mitt. He's ambidextrous.
Isn't that something?
And he tried out for football at Peyton, and from his freshman year, he'll now be going into his junior year. His freshman year, he's been starting in offense and defense for the last 2 years. He's accepted, even though he's younger, by all the seniors and juniors. He loves the sport. He loves everything about it. And it's fun. I mean, it's fun for me to go, and I go everywhere. I mean, Tinley Park, some of the worst, not worst, but to get there traveling is so hard on a Friday night. You know, it's murder. Yeah. So anyway, I mean, you know, usually I'd go and do that because I enjoy watching them. And then we went to, I don't know if I had mentioned this, last summer we went to Waco, to Baylor, and he's a wide receiver on offense. So there's a wide receiver camp at Baylor. Excuse me. And it turns out that my cousin's son is a coach at Baylor. And we stayed with them. It was wonderful. I mean, it was a great experience. And he had a great time. And now we're going to work on a camp to increase his speed. Allegedly, there were certain things you could not improve on. And, you know, there are people to this day that say, speed is what God gives you. You can't become great as a speed guy. Well, that's changed a little. And they're doing a whole bunch of different things in order to... So we're going to try it, because if he can hack off 2 or 3 tenths of a second, that's all. It'll be worth its while. Mm-hmm. So we're going to try to go somewhere. If it's not Baylor, it'll be someplace else.
Good.
So we'll see what happens. Good. And then my son's boys are great. I mean, they're smart, they're athletic. There's a charisma with Eli that nobody else has. I mean, he's right there, even when he was little. They all knew him, they all followed him. He's not stuck up. He worked in the stage crew at the high school. He plays football, he plays baseball, he's now playing basketball.
Mini talent, a renaissance guy.
He is a renaissance guy, although Gaby really is he's the real smart one. Okay. He's the renaissance guy.
Okay.
And he plays golf and volleyball. Okay. And I'm, you know, and Adam's two boys are both, well, Max now is a freshman in high school. He's playing football. Mm-hmm. Jordan will also follow and do that. Mm-hmm. But football's become difficult for parents to accept because of the concussions, things like that.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to get them to... And when I was coaching freshman football at Evanston, people would ask me to talk to their parents, and I would, and they said, well, you know, kids aren't that big. And I said, no, they are that big. They can be 13, 14 years old, and people can get hurt. Not saying it'll happen, but it does happen. And they have to learn how to fall and everything else. So, I mean, I tried to be as honest as I could with the parents. I loved it. That was one of the great times I had, was teaching football. But then again, I had a great time teaching law and trial technique to lawyers when I was working.
It sounds like you've enjoyed your life.
I have, immensely.
Is there any advice you'd give to your grandchildren?
Yeah, probably the easiest would be to say, as one person says, nothing good happens after 12 midnight. Second thing is, enjoy your life. Know that when you do something, you're not infringing on anybody else's life. And just enjoy.
Good advice.
Yeah, sometimes it works.
Well, thank you so much, Bruce.
My pleasure.
It's been a pleasure talking with you.
You know, as my wife says, sometimes you just can't shut them up.